Budgie Bulldogs sent us a text off the back of my chat with Max over there in Auckland. Matty, just want to give Max King a rap. I go to most Bulldogs games, let my kids hang back for signatures, and notice that Max stays around for the longest with the fans and the kids. Good on you, Budgie Bulldog. It was great to have a chat to him. Just one of the fine young players that we've got, in the game right now. The man who represents the players, the CEO of the Rugby League Players Association, Clint Newton, has joined us on the morning show. G'day, Clint.
Morning, Matt.
Been nice and busy in your world over the last couple of weeks, mate. You had a fair bit going across your desk.
Could say the last 3 years, Matt, really, couldn't you? the game is continues to deliver first of its kind. But anyway, we just sort of, you've got to get on with it, don't you? So outside of the odd thing here or there, the game's going great, and we've obviously got a fantastic NRLW season that kicks off very soon as well. So there's lots to be positive about too.
Yeah, 100%. And you know, just, you would have heard that text that was read out there. I mean, rugby league has a history of focusing on the drama and the controversy, but as you well know, there's a million kind of texts that we could get like that about somebody like Max King and a whole stack of other players who put in the effort to make it for the fans. So it's always swings and roundabouts in this game, but there is always something for us to talk about on the controversial side. And obviously what's happened with Ricky Stewart from a coaching perspective is something a little bit out of your realm, I guess, as Rugby League Players Association CEO, but there was a player involved in this one in Jamin Salmon. Can you tell us how it's played out from your side there in terms of interaction with the player involved in this and what you made of the punishment from the NRL?
Yeah, what I will say is the matter has obviously been dealt with by the NRL, and you know, it's obviously a very personal nature, so I don't think there's anything, you know, there's no benefit in adding my opinion to, I suppose, what's gone on. But what I can say is that we've, you know, been in contact with Jamin, you know, on the Saturday night, let him know that we were obviously available, you know, support him, and we're making sure he knows that the association is there for him, as we are for all players. I've obviously reached out to, you know, also Ricky Stewart. I consider Ricky a friend. I've known him for a long period of time. So we've done that. But the only comment I will make, I would suggest, is that, you know, I think everyone recognises that post-match press conferences aren't the place for these types of comments. But I also don't think, you know, the pile-on has helped anyone either. So I think it's been dealt with. The player knows that we're there to support him through it, however he feels necessary, and then we can just all move on.
Yeah, fair statements. Well said, Clint. Can I just ask you, when you reach out to a player in this scenario, when you reach out to Jamin in particular, what do you say to them and what do you offer them in terms of professional and support and the assistance that they may need? Some may take it up, some may not, but what are you offering them?
Yeah, well, it's always player choice, right, Matt? I mean, we're certainly not going to force anything on a player. We've got a fantastic player operations team that are, you know, deeply connected to the playing group, both in the men's and the women's space. So they're really the conduit between myself and the playing group, and they get to work straight away. They let them know, you know, both the personal and confidential advice and guidance that is available to them. Obviously, every club has their wellbeing, you know, managers available as well as psych support. But again, it really comes down to what does the player need, and that's going to be based on individual circumstances and how that player feels at the time or later on down the line. You know, because sometimes these things or other matters have a tail on them. So we've just got to make sure that the player knows that we're there to support, as well as working with the club and the great work that many clubs do.
Can I ask you about the Isaiah Papali'i situation at the moment? Now, he has a contract with the Tigers starting next year. There's all that talk about should players be able to sign, you know, a year or so out, etc. But I want to focus on the fact that you've got a player here who's not the first, won't be the last, who is having cold feet for whatever reasons, and it appears as though the reasons here are the change in coach, etc. So as a players' association, what's your advice to players like this who sign a deal, get close to enacting the deal, but then start having second thoughts about it? What role do you play in the middle of that?
Yeah, I mean, Isaiah's situation is obviously, a personal one. We've had limited involvement in Isaiah's situation, and what we have told him and his management team is that essentially it's their responsibility to honour the contract and not terminate. But there's obviously been many situations over the course of the last several years, as there will be continually, where there's mutual agreement to terminate. Tigers, by the sounds of it, haven't looked for that. He and his team, are well within their rights, like other workplaces, to request a mutual termination, as is anyone. But that's not to say it should be granted, or it will be. And as it stands, this is really a discussion between the two parties, which is the employee and the employer. And our expectation of players is they honour their contracts, and they're aware of all, but they're also aware of all their rights. But it goes both ways. So our expectation is also clubs honour the contracts that players sign as well. And it's often it's a bit of an unspoken factor that doesn't get brought in publicly, but there's many reasons why a player leaves. And there's been situations where we see people shoulder tapping players as well, which you can't deny that happens. But on this occasion, we again make sure they're aware of their rights, their obligations, and then and are there when required for both club and player.
So at the moment, no role to play or has been played from the RLPA on the Isaiah Papali'i side?
Well, outside of our involvement, obviously, is to say that that they have a responsibility to honour their contract. But then there's a process that they would have to work through. And again, they're well within their rights to request a termination. As I said, just like every other employee in this country. But that doesn't mean to say it can be granted, or that there's an expectation that those that a request would be accepted. But
it's
again,
like anything,
if that doesn't change, then you turn up for training and you get on with it.
You can always ask. You can always ask, but the answer may not always be yes, and that's across the board. Now, just on the issue of hip drop tackles, you would have heard perhaps Matty Johns here on this network on SEN on Monday said players should be kicked out of the RLPA if they perform hip drop tackles. So players should be knocked out of the conversation if they're doing these tackles, which is clearly a blight on the game. What's your reaction to those statements?
Oh, I mean, like anyone, I mean, everyone's entitled to their opinion. But I mean, the suggestion that we need to step in and tell players and coaches how to play the game is ridiculous. It's not the role of the association to step into clubland and tell them how to play and what lines to run and what tackles to do or not do. There's also there's an assumption that there's intent, to hurt. Now that's a big call. We're certainly not the moral compass when it comes to, nor should we be, these types of situations. But what the RLPA has done is we were part of the judicial match review before the start of the season. And we had some pretty strong comments back then after it was announced that, and we were one of the only stakeholders in the game to criticise it. In particular, we didn't support the fine system, especially this year with the introduction of fines for shoulder charges and crusher tackles, which are arguably two of the most dangerous tackles in the game, because we didn't think that players effectively buying their way out of those types of situations was the right approach. But our responsibility to the player doesn't just start and stop with on-field matters. There's a whole range of things in which we're part of. And we've also got a judicial system and a match review committee in place that is well within their rights to hand down various punishments and sanctions as well. So, the RLPA's job is to be part of any review of judicial and match review and ensure the game is as safe as possible for the players to play.
Got a question from one of our listeners on the text line, Clint, from Gavin out in Penrith, said, what is the RLPA's biggest or most important issue that you're having to deal with at the moment? Scheduling, player safety, rule changes, rep allegiance rules. He wants to know, what do you reckon, what's top of your list at the moment in importance or biggest issue that you're going to deal with?
Biggest issue is the CBA delays, I would suggest, Matt. That effectively, it captures all the terms and conditions, payments and benefits and entitlements, insurances and protections for the players, both the NRLW and the NRL players. So for example, you've got 240 NRLW players right now that have no idea what their terms and conditions are going to be next year. They don't know when their season is. They don't know how much the salary cap is. You've got four new clubs that can't sign any players. So, again, I would suggest that's the significant boulder that I'd like shifted because, effectively, that captures a lot of the things that we're talking about. I mean, outside of that, obviously, you've got some of the factors connected to scheduling. We've made some comments about the length of next year, particularly moving back to three Wednesday fixtures. But there's also lots of positive things going on too. I mean, again, we've got an outstanding competition at the moment that continues to change. You've got an NRLW, season that's about to kick off. And going back to the judiciary, we've seen a huge decline in charges across the board. So, so again, the game is in a good position, hugely financial. Now it's just about making sure that all the stakeholders work together to continue to progress things.
Yeah, you're right. There's a lot on your plate, not just last few weeks, last few years. That CBA, the cornerstone of everything that the players do, obviously. So that's an important one. Appreciate your time this morning. I know it's busy. Good on you, Clint.
No worries, Matty. Always happy to jump on the show and to be given a platform to clarify a few things is great. So have a good day, mate, and forward to two good seasons finishing up this year.
Absolutely. Good on you, Clint. Clint Newton there, the RLPA CEO. 0457 736 736. It's 21 and a half after 11.